I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners of Arabi English Radio. This is Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more, and you are listening to Muslim Lady. This is the cozy corner for all the ladies out there. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing just well. So, as usual, we have our very dear lady to help us with the insights, and she is Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming here. Now, all the faithful and loyal audience of Muslim Lady know you, but just for those who have joined us recently, please explain who you are in a very brief introduction.
All right, to all the new faithful people who have joined Muslim Lady, I am Tarfatlan Zainab Askari. I'm actually from Kashmir, and I've been studying Hausa here for the last 10 years, and I'm also authoring one or two books on Muslim Lady.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming here and for cooperating and sharing your insights into the realm of Muslim ladies. Well, as usual, we have been talking about all the topics that are the main concerns of ladies in all the nooks and crannies of the world. So as for today, we will be talking about a common concern of many, let's say, families. And since we're addressing the ladies, it would be the discussion of the condition in which, in this marital relationship, one of the spouses is actually so much dependent on their family. They still are not feeling like mature enough to do the decision making, and they're just like these fledgling birds who depend on their parents for anything, for decision making, for even choosing the color of the shirt they're going to buy. Anything. So in these conditions, how you as a lady have to react?
Before any reaction, we always have to take a pause and we have to understand the situation. So this phenomenon is termed as enmeshment in psychology, wherein it's a situation where the boundaries between the adult child and their parents are diffused that prevent the development of a fully autonomous identity. Like you grow up and you are now married, but you still have not kind of grown up. You still are dependent exactly. on them so much for a lot of things, especially in decision making. So from a developmental psychology standpoint, this represents an incomplete transition to adulthood. The individual may struggle with anxiety when they are making decisions on their own. I actually have been there personally, like not me, but I have, like my husband has been excessively dependent on others. I would say not definitely parents, but maybe his friends for huge decision making. So I know, like, because I realized when they are trying to make their own decisions, they feel huge anxiety, and that's because of a lot of reasons.
So why they don't trust their own spouses in decision making? Like, okay, you're dependent, why not now projecting that dependence on this new partner in your life?
Well, it's not about that they are not trusting. It's because that their primary reference point for validation has always been someone else, like since their childhood, and maybe sometimes it always remains their parents. And in many cultures, like in ours, I would say, it has been seen as a virtue than a problem.
Yeah.
Like, for example, like I come from India, and in those cultures, if you are discussing things with directly with spouses and you're not taking parents into the decision making, then it's seen as like something like you have done some moral vice.
Yeah.
So including parents, in each and every decision, or like big decisions especially, it's seen as virtue. And this is not necessarily seen as a problem in these cultures. And it's considered as respect for elders and maintaining family harmony. True, that's true. But it should not be like for every minor decision, everything. Mm-hmm. There could be many other causes. Like in my case, like as I told you, like my husband would rely on his friends for major decisions. Like, for example, once we had to buy something for someone else, like my uncle was living in another country and I was here, and he wanted to gift his wife something, and he wanted us to buy, say, for example, gold from here, right? So buying gold was a kind of big decision for my husband, and he was asking each and every friend, like, which show, where, how, when. I know, like, some suggestions, some consultations are important, some are okay, but then, like, he took
excessively, he took
almost 2 months for this decision. So I was like, yeah, and I told him, like, 2 months ago we would have got this thing for this much, and after 2 months we will get this for this much. So like, this in itself is a huge mistake. And then he said to me, like, we spoke to each other, and he said, I am afraid of shopping alone. So it's been a problem always because I have not faced it directly. So that's why I'm always dependent on others for these huge decisions.
Yeah, so as we can see, it's really sometimes it turns into a problem, an obsession. Like, you have to sit and talk about it, because in some severe points, it gets into the major cause of maybe a turmoil in the family, in a house which has been newly just established for two lovers, like coming in the hope of finding love, and then suddenly encountering someone who is in their childhood. So this is an actual problem, and we have to face the realities of these issues and dig deeper into the major cause of them. But before that, we go for the break and then we come back. So stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
To be mature is something, and to grow older is another thing. Sometimes you only grow older as in the number of your age, but the maturity does not happen. Yes, you're listening to Muslim Lady. I'm Asma, and Sister Zainab is with us, and we're just talking about the fact that in many cases, in many cases of marriage, there is this condition in which one of the spouses is relying too excessively on their parents or a third person in decision-making, which is a problem in itself. So you said that there are some psychological causes, some psychological justifications for that. But are there any ways out?
Of course there are ways out. But before we go to the way out, we will try to understand some other causes as well. Like, for example, there could be also sometimes financial dependence. For example, if parents are providing enough financial support, example, for a home or for a car, for a living expense. And it often, comes with strings attached explicitly or implicitly. The parents feel that they have the right to be involved in your decisions because they are supporting you. So, which again is not true. So another could be emotional dependence, which is a huge I would say one of the biggest causes, because they may have a history of relying on parents for emotional regulation and problem solving. So another thing is emotional dependence. They may have a history of relying on parents for emotional regulation and problem solving. And this also creates a pattern where in times of stress, they default to their parents instead of turning to their spouse. Like, it really takes them a hard time to understand that now they're in a new life. And they should be having these problem-solving skills. We all, as children, we turn to our parents for problem-solving issues. But then there are some good schools as well that teach you, or sometimes these things are not taught in the school, but life teaches you.
Exactly.
So by time of your marriage, you should really have learned the skills of problem solving and decision making yourself. That's why in Islamic tarbiyah as well, we have three stages, you know, as per Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family. He said that do tarbiyah in three stages, three sevens. Like the first 7 years, treat them as kings and queens. Yeah. In the second 7 years, treat them as your servants, like not servants in literal terms, but give them responsibilities.
Yeah, give them tasks.
Give them tasks. Yeah, so like let them do the things now because they were in the, you know, kingship phase until now. Now let them. Some people do not come out of this being a king or a queen until they are married even. Yeah. So that's why
they remain as kings and queens forever.
Yeah, and then they create problems in their marital life.
Exactly.
And the third phase, which is very, very important, I guess, the last seventh phase, which is from 14 onwards to 21, it says that treat them as your advisors, you know, take them as your advisors in decision making.
Yeah.
So you're involving them, basically. See, in Islamic lifestyle, we involve children in decision making. So we are teaching them the problem-solving skills and other skills, decision-making.
By the way, this just reminds me of another issue. I guess parents are themselves part of the ones to be blamed. Like in some occasions, I've seen many parents who make their children dependent on them. Like they don't give them this freedom to... Okay, this is your problem. You have to face it. You're an adult, and right now you have to face it. You have to find the solution by yourself. Yeah. We're here to support, but that doesn't mean we're going to be the solvers. Like, we're not the problem solvers. The case that we were talking about was the case of those people who rely deeply and excessively and obsessively on their parents for decision making, and are they have a trustee. And they rely on that trustee forever in all the decision making. But this is not what adults must do. They have to be mature enough to take responsibility and to shoulder the burden of their decision making.
Yeah. So, you know, when you are excluding another person, like the one who is living with you in the decision making, they feel devalued and they feel untrusted and they feel like an outsider in their own marriage. It creates a two against one dynamic where the one who was amnished spouse and their parents, they form a coalition against the one who is like kind of disempowered now. So they fail to develop their own unique identity, conflict resolution skills. Like even if there are sometimes, you know, we have a lot of these cases, like there's a conflict between husband and wife, and then you inform your parents, like the girl. Not always husband. A girl informs her parents and then she keeps listening to her mother or all the decisions from outside without giving the time that they can solve it themselves, which creates in itself a huge problem. So what could be done? Yes, do integrate your parents in your decisions, but do not eliminate your spouse. The goal is not to dismiss the parental opinion outright. It is to create a process like the couple discusses an issue first. Once they have united front together and a clear understanding on each other's views, they can now choose or seek counsel from parents. And then there's also like you should create boundaries, like healthy boundaries with parents are permeable. It's not like something you're doing something against Islam.
Yeah. Perfect fences make perfect neighbors.
Yeah, so like autonomy of it creates autonomy of marital unit. So it's not like you're doing something anti-Islamic. So couples must decide together what topics are open for discussion with parents, like general life updates. But some things are there which are strictly private, and I suggest that they should be discussed with each other. So yeah, this way you're actually giving the other person a personality and valuing them and valuing their intellectual power, respecting them, seeing their strengths and their weaknesses and their perspectives.
So simply, if we want to just give the gist of what you said as the ways out, is that first of all, recognize it. Second of all, try to work on it. Do not exclude your spouse. Give them their value. and let them feel worthy of notice. Let them feel that they have been seen. They are recognizable and they have a great share in decision making.
Because, you know, Quran also says that consult with each other. It says twice that consult together courteously. It's Surah Talaq, verse number 6. And also in Surah Baqarah, verse 233, we have, if both sides decide after mutual consultation and consent, then so and so on. So like, you know, mutual consent, both sides deciding, it gives importance.
And sharing ideas, interacting, yeah. Having this
interaction
for ideas.
Tell the whole story, like how important your opinions are, not just one side, but
yeah,
both sides.
But unfortunately, we're running out of time and we cannot talk more about this topic. So, dear ladies, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and I hope that all these insights might come to your help one way or another. But this was all for today. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges.